First Chronicles, chapter 11. I want to just reflect on verse 1. All Israel gather themselves to David to Hebron, saying, "Behold, we are your bone and your flesh." Well, to say he is my flesh and my bones is another way of saying he is my blood relative. And there's several times in the Bible where that figure is used, or this language is used. He's my flesh and bones. It means he's my blood relative. And this is what they were saying to David, that we are your bone and your flesh. We are, as it were, your relatives. This is how closely we feel to you. Now, Ephesians 5, verse 30, I think alludes here, setting up David as a type of Jesus, and those who felt this way towards David are like us in our feelings to Jesus. Ephesians 5:30, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So sure, by baptism we become part of the body of Christ, but this is taken further. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, which, as I say, was a Hebraism for we're blood relatives. Well, that may sound just a metaphor, just nice language, until you come to consider the New Testament's teaching about our adoption as sons. The idea in Galatians 4 is that we are adopted as God's sons. And it's worth just noticing that in Greek and Roman law, if people adopted a child, they could never disown the adopted child. The child could break all the ties that bind and disown the adoptive parents, but the parents who adopted could never disown their child. They could disown their own child that was biologically theirs, but they could not disown the adopted child. As I say, the adopted child could tear up the ties that bind and disown the parents, but not the other way round. And that is a very powerful figure, therefore, when we're told that we are the adopted children of God. But then Paul goes further in Galatians and says that because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. And I think what he's saying there is almost too wonderful to believe. But I think what he's saying is, sure, we were adopted, but we are given the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whereby we cry out, Daddy, to God, just as Jesus calls his Father, God, Abba, Daddy, in Gethsemane. There's something that happens to us when we are transformed by the work of the Spirit, that we become, as it were, the actual children of God. And so Ephesians 5 can say, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, which we've seen here in 1 Chronicles 11, and I've made the point that in the other references to this phrase, it means actual blood relatives. This also explains why the language of the virgin birth, of being begotten in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit, why this language is used about us, particularly in John's writings, that we were begotten by the Spirit. It makes a good study sometime to have a look through, particularly the first of John, and to see how the language of the virgin birth, the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary, and that which was begotten in her was therefore the Son of God, all that language of the virgin birth of Jesus is picked up and applied to us in John. But of course, if you deny the work of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't see the wonder of that. As soon as you talk about the Holy Spirit, people get all funny because they think you're talking about doing miracles and being Pentecostals and that. And no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about, as Galatians says, the Spirit of his Son being sent forth into our hearts. So the arena of the work of the Holy Spirit is in human hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So that, as Ephesians 5 says, we are of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Just as Israel, and Judah particularly, came to David and truly felt, you're one of us, You are our blood relative. That is how close we can become in the new family of God.